Praise the Lord for a God we can trust. Amen. Leviticus in chapter number 4. Leviticus chapter number 4. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus in chapter number 4. We're going to read the first few verses in Leviticus 4. Before we preach this morning, I do want to have a word of prayer for Miss Lola. And her son passed away this week. And so Lola, we love you and we're praying. And so let's have prayer for Lola, and then we'll look at our text this morning. Father, we love you. Father, I just pray that, Lord, you just please give comfort and grace to Miss Lola. And Lord, I just pray that, Lord, you'd just wrap your arms around her and may she know she's loved. And I just pray that, Lord, you'd work in her family and just give grace. Just please help them. Lord, you promised you're the God of all comfort. And we trust you to do just that. And Lord, I know our son struggled for a long time with his health. And I just pray, God, Lord, you just please, Lord, just encourage her in the promises of Scripture. In your name I do pray. Amen. In Leviticus chapter number 4, let's read verses 1 through 7 real quick this morning. Leviticus 4, verse number 1 says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, If a soul shall sin through ignorance against any of the commandments of the Lord, concerning things which ought not to be done, and shall do against any of them, if the priest that is anointed do sin according to the sin of the people, then let him bring for his sin, which he hath sinned, a young bullock, without blemish, unto the Lord for a sin offering. And he shall bring the bullock unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, and shall lay his hand upon the bullock's head, and kill the bullock before the Lord. And the priest that is anointed shall take of the bullock's blood, and bring it to the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall dip his finger in the blood, sprinkle of the blood 7 times before the Lord, before the veil of the sanctuary. And the priest shall put some of the blood upon the horns of the altar of sweet incense before the Lord, which is in the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall pour all the blood of the bullock at the bottom of the altar of the burnt offering, which is at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation." In this passage, we get a quick glimpse of, again, a sin offering. In the Bible, in the Old Testament times, when sin was committed, and they did this frequently because, well, all of us are sinners. And so the sin offering, which was a picture of what one day the Lord Jesus Christ would do for all of us on the cross. And he has done that. He went to the cross, he paid for our sins, and we're all very thankful for that. But in those days, when a sin offering, and it was for the people or for the priest, because I don't care who you are, whether they were the people or the priest, we're all sinners. And every one of us, I don't care who you are, who your last name is, where you come from, what your social status is, what your financial status is, we all must come to a point where we recognize we need the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are sinners, and we need His forgiveness, and trust in the substitutionary death of the Lord. Well, in this passage, it kind of gives a description. They would go to, and if you had to kind of picture with me, they would walk in and to the area of the tabernacle, and as they approached, the first thing that they would come to would be the altar, for the burnt offering, for the sacrifice. There that bullock would be slain. The bullock would be laid upon that offering that altar, and a blood would be poured out. And literally, all the blood collected of that would be poured around the base of that altar. And because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission, the Bible says. And all that was a picture. Listen, Christ just didn't have to die. His blood had to be shed for us. And some of that blood would be collected. The priest himself, after the sacrifice, would take that blood
And he would enter into the tabernacle itself. There the candlestick would be there. The table of showbread would be there. And then just beyond that, there was the altar of incense. Now, after the altar of incense, there was a veil. Behind that veil was the Holy of Holies. Behind that veil was the Ark of the Covenant. Behind that veil was truly the Shekinah glory of God, the presence of God Himself. Now, there was a veil there. And the priest, as we just read, would take some of that blood and seven times would sprinkle it before the veil. Again, seven, a number of perfection. But again, the blood. Only because of the blood could one enter into the presence of the Lord. Only because of the blood can one enter into the presence of the Lord. They would take that blood, they would then sprinkle it, but then, as we just read, they were to take that blood and they would put it upon their thumbs and they would smear that blood on the horns of this incense altar. Now, they would have four horns on this altar. You read about people would come in, they would hold on to the horns of that altar and then some on this altar. But this altar, unlike this one, was a sweet-smelling savor. It was one where incense was burned. They would take the coals from off of the burnt offering, take it in here, and place it there, all right, and burn that incense, which was a sweet smell. This altar, that was for our sins. This altar was a representation of our fellowship, our communion, our prayer, and our acceptance from God, which is a sweet-smelling savor. That's what God wants. But it can only be done after the sacrifice. And so they would come in and they'd smear the blood on this altar, which this incense would be burning, a sweet-smelling savor. But the blood was there poured out upon this altar through the sacrificing of the lamb, literally poured around the base of the altar, sprinkled upon the veil, and placed upon this altar of incense. Because if it were not for the blood, none of this. Which again was just a picture. This didn't save anyone. It was just a picture how that one day the Lamb of God would give His life and His blood would be shed. And only because of the sacrifice of the Lord and His blood being shed can we one day enjoy the presence of God for all of eternity. When Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled, I go to prepare a place for you," in John chapter number 14, again, He just said, you know, "In my Father's house are many mansions." You know, when He said, "I go to prepare a place for you," there's only one more thing that needed to be done. Mansions didn't need to be built. They were already there. Street of gold didn't have to be laid. It was already there. But one thing that God had to do was the Lord Jesus would present His blood, just as we just saw an example, before a holy God. And once the blood was presented, the sacrifice had been made, and now you and I can go to the Father's house. And that's why, I remember before, I don't want to get deep into all this, all right? But before, in the Old Testament, when people died, and even into the beginning of the New Testament, that transition time, when believers died, they went to paradise, Abraham's bosom. And remember when Jesus first ascended, He stopped and talked to Mary when He rose from the grave. And remember what He said to Mary? She wanted to reach out and just grab His feet, right? And He said, "Touch me not, for I have not yet," what? Ascended. But later on, when He's sitting there with the disciples, remember Thomas, he didn't believe. What did He tell Thomas to do? He said, what? "Touch me." Something happened between the time of His resurrection and the time of Thomas. He went and took His blood and presented it before a holy God, which says this: our sins have been paid for. Blood of Christ. What a wonderful, wonderful thing. The Bible says, and by the way, the blood flows. There's some people that don't like preaching, and they don't even say it. Some people say we shouldn't even talk about the blood. It's not that important. My friends, the blood flows through this book just like it does through your body, all right? without the life of the flesh is in the blood. And our eternal life is through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. The Bible says ye are redeemed, not with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. Because of our sin, His blood had to be shed. Blood in the Word of God is very simple. It represents life. Again, the life of the body is in the blood. The blood represents life. And when Jesus died upon the cross, He didn't just suffer. He didn't just suffer to death. The Bible says that His blood was shed for our sins. Life and blood. The very first mention of blood in the Bible. I don't know if you ever thought about it. When blood is mentioned, you may know. Interesting. First time blood is mentioned is when the Lord is speaking to Cain. And He says, "Your brother's blood crieth from the earth." What had happened to Abel? He died. Cain killed him. First mention of blood is with death and the absence of life. When Noah got off the ark in Genesis chapter number 9, God laid out the first governmental law. Again, some people in our society don't like this, but it's God's first governmental law. And in Genesis chapter 9 and verse number 6, it says that when man sheds man's blood and he kills another man, that man's blood should be shed. Now, it's interesting that the Lord used that term. Blood. His blood. When Jesus died, He suffered death, but His blood was literally poured out. The Bible says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." There's only one way that a just God could fulfill the sentence in justice for our sins. You and I, the wages of our sin is what? And that death demands, a just God demands this. And the only one who could ever fulfill the demands of our sin debt was the Lord Jesus Christ. And when He died, His blood was literally shed for us. The just for the unjust. The Bible says, "He who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." In the Old Testament, because of sin, blood was shed. And again, blood is one of those things, you know, even a lost world recognizes the offensiveness of blood being shed. I mean, I'm not being taking anything lightly or anything, but you know, a television show will get a higher rating if blood is shed. Be careful, parents. Something bad happens. Blood is shed. Christ, when He died, sometimes we picture Him on the cross. And as gory and as bad as that sounds, I think it's important that we understand that His blood was shed for us. Not a drop. Just a drop. And I appreciate songs, and I'm not saying they're wrong, about that one drop of His blood can... But my friend, it took more than a drop. I believe when the Lord died on that cross that He poured out His blood, because when those sacrifices were slain, they drained the blood from those sacrifices. And I believe when the Lord died for our sins on the cross, He literally shed all of His blood. There's no other way that we could have our sins forgiven but through the substitutionary death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Old Testament pointed to this. All the sacrifices in the Old Testament pointed to the day when the Lord Jesus would go to that cross. And when he went to that cross, his blood was shed. They first scourged him using that cat of nine tails. And again, they would take that whip, and there would be sharp stones and glass that was interwoven at the end of that whip. And a master at his trade would take that whip and snap it to a point. It was just like a fisherman will set a hook in a fish's mouth. He would wrap that hook around a body, set the hook, set those things into his flesh, and then rip them off. To a point that by the time this man was done, before Jesus went to the cross, the prophet said that his body was so marred, couldn't even tell it was the visage of a man. Literally, the Lord Jesus Christ on that cross looked like ground up meat. I don't like thinking about that. I don't enjoy it either, but we have to understand, we get this Catholic picture of a Jesus sitting there on a cross, you know, with his head down, a cloth wrapped around his waist, and a little blood trickle going down his hand. That was not what happened. They tore his body with every one of those whips, with every one of those scourgings. His blood literally poured out. They then took these thorns and made a crown with these thorns to mock him as being the king. They put these thorns and they pressed it upon his head. Read the Bible. After they placed that upon him, someone took a reed and smote him on the head. These thorns literally went into his head. No part of your body superficially will bleed like your head. And when these thorns went into his brow and his head and his skull, blood began to shed. As if all of this wasn't enough, now his head is covered in blood. His body is covered in blood. As he hangs and they lay him down there and they put him on that cross, they take nails and they place them in his hands and in his feet. And more blood was poured out. When they hang him upon that cross, all of that blood began to pour from his body. Gravity demands it. His blood was shed. He finally bows his head. He cries out, "It is finished." Not his life, because he is alive. Our sin debt was paid for. Some soldier then took a spear, threw that spear at his side, and when he removed that spear, the Bible says that outflowed water and blood. I don't know how much blood was left in that body, but it all flowed out. You say it's gross. It is. It's disgusting. It is. But everybody look at me. That's what our sin cost. Not cute. Oh, it's just a sin. We laugh about it. We mock it. That was the price of our sin. And his blood was shed for every one of us. We go back to Leviticus here, and I want us to think about something. This blood, again, that altar of incense, this altar of incense, that sweet, sweet smelling savor. Again, it represents, I hope you can see it, walk through it, all right? Travis Burke is a sinner, and you can put all of you in my place too. We're all the same. But praise the Lord for the Lord Jesus Christ, his sacrifice, and his blood that was shed. Our sin has been covered. Once for all, he paid for our sins. And now I can enter into his presence because of the sacrifice. I now, praise the Lord, can enjoy this fellowship with God, this communion with God, this relationship with God. And it's not just for me. He gets pleased from this. It's a sweet-smelling savor to God. God wants a relationship with every one of us. Listen, this isn't it. And sometimes we just all, we're just so, and we should be so rejoicing over everything that happened so that we could get to heaven. But I want you to understand, when God sees this, he doesn't just see that all this was for us to get to him. This is a very important thing. All this was done so that he could get to us. Think about that. And I want to show you that. Number one, this blood that was placed upon this sweet-smelling altar here. Number one, it was in the presence of the Lord. I want you to see this real quick. Look there in verse number 5. It says, "And the priest that is anointed shall take the bullock's blood and bring it to the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall dip his finger in the blood and sprinkle the blood 7 times, look at, before the Lord, before the veil of the sanctuary. And the priest shall put some of the blood upon the horns of the altar of sweet incense before the Lord." Everybody see that? Before the Lord. Before the Lord. This is all off the cuff, but I want you to see this, right? You got imagination with me? Everybody imagining with me, right? We all good? Titus, come here real quick. All right. Titus, literally, he's become an inanimate object. He is the altar of incense. All right? Nice job. Stand right there. You're an altar of incense. All right? There he is, all right? But on this altar of incense was one of the horns of the altar. Y'all with me? They were to put that blood before the Lord. This is really important. He would take of that blood and put it on his thumb. He would not put it here. He put it here before the Lord. Here. Did you see that? Before the Lord. Once, twice, 3 times, 4 times. Before the Lord. Because when God looks at us, when God, there he is, right? This person would come and make this and pray, and his prayers and his fellowship and the sweet smell would be there. But when God looked upon this, he saw the blood. Amen. That's what makes this possible. Remember whenever the you good? Remember whenever, like Statue of Liberty, man, right? Remember whenever the Passover took place? And remember that 10th plague? They were to take the blood. And remember what they were supposed to do with that blood? They were to put it upon the doorpost outside. Right? So if we live, this is our house, we didn't put the blood, you know, here. We put it there. Now the family's in here. And remember what God said? He said that the angel of God would come. And remember what he said? When I, what? See the blood, I will pass over you. The family didn't see the blood. They knew it was there. They didn't see it. But when a holy God went by, when he saw the blood, that family was saved. The blood was placed in this altar, in this fellowship, in this communion, and this rejoicing with God. It's only possible because a holy God, when he looked upon it, he saw the blood. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Thanks. Praise the Lord. The presence of the Lord. This blood was shed before, it was placed there before the Lord. Look over in Hebrews real quick. We'll come back, Leviticus, but in Hebrews chapter number 12. Look at these verses real quick. In Hebrews chapter number 12 in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter number 12, the blood was not placed where man would see it. It was there where God would see it. Hebrews chapter number 12, I love this passage of Scripture. Verse number 22, it gives us a quick glimpse of heaven. And it says here in verse number 22 of Hebrews chapter number 12, "But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem." All right, we're approaching here, all right, what glory is going to be one day and what it is. "And to an innumerable company of angels," God's angels are there, amen, "to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God Well, praise the Lord, the saints of God are going to be there. Amen. And to God, the judge of all, God is going to be there. And to the spirits of just men made perfect. Verse number 24, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ is there. And to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. The blood is there. Oh, come on, that's awesome. The blood is in glory. What blood? Lord's blood. It speaketh things better than that of Abel. Abel's sacrifice, good, yeah. And that sacrifice, he believed in faith when he made the sacrifices. But I also wonder, the first time blood's mentioned when Abel died and his blood was shed. That was a dark, terrible, wicked, terrible thing. But this blood in heaven is all about life. Eternal life. That blood speaks on our behalf. Turn back to Hebrews chapter number 9. In Hebrews chapter number 9, and in verse number 12, Hebrews 9 and verse number 12, it says this, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. The Lord Jesus Christ, by his own blood, entered in once into the holy place. He took his blood and presented it before a holy God. It would only need to be done once. And that blood still speaks on our behalf. But because of his blood, obtained eternal redemption for us. We're going to heaven if we have put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, because his blood speaks on our behalf. And when God sees us, when God looks down upon us, when we call out to our Heavenly Father, when we enjoy fellowship with our Heavenly Father, in the presence of the whole Heavenly Father, when we worship God together to the Heavenly Father, and we worship him in spirit and truth, when we pray, when we serve a great God, God, when he beholds us, the first thing he sees is the blood that has been presented before him. And we can have this fellowship, and we can serve because of the blood. I see back in Leviticus chapter 7, the presence of the Lord, this blood was placed in the presence of the Lord, but also, secondly, I wrote this down, the power of the Lord. The power of the Lord. That blood, when it was placed upon the horns of this incense altar, it represented, I believe, the authority by which we can have that fellowship. It represents the authority that we can intercede. It represents the authority. Listen, Jesus, he's our mediator. Jesus prays for us. He talks to God on our behalf. Isn't that wonderful? How can he talk to God on our behalf? In the same way that that high priest, Jesus is the great high priest, but that high priest was able to go in. Again, the sacrifice was made. He was able to go in into this altar, and he was able to talk and pray to a God on behalf of a people. Why could he do that? Because the blood. As God looked at him before the Lord, the blood was there. The Lord Jesus Christ, he prays on our behalf. He intercedes on our behalf, and the blood speaks. The blood gives that authority. Because his blood was shed, we can have a relationship with God. Because the blood was shed, we can have fellowship with God. It represents an authority. It represents how that's our standing before him. Listen, without that blood, we couldn't have a relationship with God. Without that blood, there'd be no fellowship with God. But praise the Lord, the requirement has been met. His blood has been shed. And because of the blood, we can fellowship. We can pray. We can please God. We can serve Him. We can have joy. And all that that altar represented, the sweet smell, the joy, the communion, the fellowship, we can have it all because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe it also is a mark of the pleasing of the Lord. The pleasing of the Lord. Listen, that blood was shed, that blood was put upon that altar, and it was a sweet-smelling savor. God was pleased in that. Amen? That's why it's a sweet-smelling savor to God. He was pleased in that. Here's the thing that's just amazing. You know, you take me, you take Brother Joshua sitting there, we're sinners. It's what we do best in our flesh, sin. Isn't it amazing knowing how wicked I know I am and how wicked you know you are? Isn't it amazing we can please God? We can please God. How can we please God? A holy, perfectly righteous God. The same way. Because it's not about us. It's about His blood. And we have trusted in that blood. We rely upon that blood. And because of the blood, listen, when you pray, it pleases God. When you sing choir, it pleases God. When you sing church, it pleases God. When you tell a soul about the gospel, it pleases God. When you give a cup of cold water to a thirsty person, it pleases God. We can please God because of the blood. If it weren't for the blood, we couldn't please Him. I mean, I'm done, but it's just simply this. Every time we pray, again, every time we pray, that man knew he could walk up to that altar and begin to pray, because had he not applied the blood, it would have been in disobedience. But that man knew, I can talk to God because of the blood. Everything we do, and again, I just want this to change our lives, our spiritual lives, man. When we sing tonight in church, we sing and can please God because of the blood. Blood should be on our mind. When we give money in an offering, the form of worship, and do it, praise the Lord for the blood of the Lamb. I can testify. I can preach. I can play an instrument. I can serve God. I can, whatever you do this week for the glory of God, it's because of the blood. But without the blood, it doesn't please God. Without the blood, it's in vain. You hear this morning, you may sing a song, you may have put money in an offering when you're sitting in church. Those are good things. But without the blood, it profits you none. Without the blood, it doesn't please God. Without the blood, if you're not saved today, if you've not put your faith in what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross, if you've never, because you can't get there until you first pass here. You must first come to a place where you've put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Without the shedding of blood, there is no pleasing God. Without the shedding of blood, there is no prayer life. Without the shedding of blood, you can't serve Him. Without the shedding of blood, it's all in vain. Y'all see it? You can't have fellowship. You can't enjoy His presence. You can't enjoy His fellowship. You can't have any of that without the blood. And it's not about, again, you can say, well, sure, I've done it. When God looks at you, He says He should see the blood. Has there been a time in your life, I don't care who you are, where you come from, how long you've been sitting here, you and God know the truth here. Has there been a time in your life when you accepted what Jesus Christ did for you and in faith say, Lord, I'm a sinner, but I believe. Remember how the chapter started? Because of sin, a sacrifice had to be made. I believe that Jesus died for my sins. And by faith and repentance, say, Lord, forgive me. Save my soul. I believe that Jesus died for my sins. And once you've accepted the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, we now can enjoy fellowship and communion, joy, serving, and please God. If you've never been saved, get saved today. If you're the child of God today, everything we do after salvation, may we just keep in our mind, I can do this because of the blood of the Lamb. And when God looks at me, He sees the blood. Praise the Lord for the blood of Christ. Let's pray, Father.